about enabling versus helping your parents as far as with their finances if they're not spending appropriately and expect you to help them. They live in a resort area, so they have a very expensive house, but they can't afford it. They can't work, and they're doing a reverse mortgage. They could sell it and pay cash for a smaller house, but they just don't want to leave the area. And the taxes are $10,000 a year, and they expect us and the siblings to help pay for those taxes so they can stay in that house. He's disabled, so he can't work. It's actually my in-laws. I think they're 60.
Listen, that's one of many, many comments we get left on our comment line here at the Intentional Living Center about relationships, and in particular about in-law relationships. I mean, here's a guy saying, I don't know. I mean, we're plunking out money to help our in-laws. They're making bad financial decisions. That's just one of many kinds of things that can happen in an in-law relationship that creates serious underlying problems. Dr. Randy here. This is Intentional Living, along with Jennifer and Steven and Gino and the team. Today, we're picking up from a discussion from last week about in-law relationships, and we're going to turn the corner in a moment and hear some great stories of people who have said, hey, here's what I've learned about in-law relationships. This is what is working for me, and this is why our lines were so busy with calls. According to a Cambridge University psychologist, Terry Apter, Terry says 75% of couples have problems with their in-laws, and 3 out of 4 experience significant conflict. According to Yahoo Money, 70% of married people say their relationship with their in-laws causes strain on their marriage. This was interesting from the University of Michigan psychologist, who found that a close relationship with a spouse's parents can reduce the risk of divorce for men, but increase it for women. Boy, I'm sure there's much more in that research. That'd be interesting. But it sets the stage for the fact that there are things we can do, maintain a good relationship, and practice what God's intention is in those relationships. You can share your comment today, 888-888-1717. We get started first with Tracy in Kansas. Hi, Tracy. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Good. Appreciate your call. What have you learned about in-law relationships?
Well, mine is about basically my husband's relationship with my mother, and I guess now our relationship with his mom. My mom, several years ago, she suddenly needed to, she couldn't go home. She went in the hospital, and the doctor said, well, she can't go home. And it was in a different town, and so we moved her into our home. Mm-hmm. And it was about 6 months, and I had to fix her finances and find, all the paperwork that you don't know about and, accounts and all of that stuff. And he was just really wonderful about being supportive as I tried to honor my mother.
Wow, that's good.
And he also told me when she moved in and then subsequently to a nursing home close by that he would not take a job until, move us until she passed away.
How did that make you feel about him and your marriage?
It was wonderful. It was just so... it was good to know that my family meant as much to him as his family does.
That's important. Did mom pass, or is she still in the home?
Yeah, she passed away a few years ago. But the thing is that there are seasons of in-law relationships.
Yeah.
This was a tough one. And now we're kind of going through that with his mom. She has a lot more resources. And she's not in the same kind of situation as my mother was. But being able to support her and support him as he's, helping his mom. It's just, that's kind of what marriage is about.
Plus you get to a point where you look back and you say, no regrets.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and and like I said, there's seasons. There were times when it was okay, we don't need your advice. we need to make our mistakes, because if you fix it all, that's what makes your marriage stronger, is making some of those mistakes and dealing with those issues. And then, you know, dealing with my mother and going through that together, that helped make us stronger.
Yes.
Because we communicated about it, and it wasn't, you have to do this for my mother, but I'm willing to do this for your mother.
Yeah.
Because I know she means a lot to you, and I know she doesn't have anything else, and we're going to do this together, as opposed to, it's just the way you approach it and your mindset about it, and that you come together as a team.
That's right.
To do it together,
In the process, God blesses that. I believe that. I mean, this is what God's intention is. Throughout history, family supporting family, caring for family. And we tend to live in boxes now, don't we? We put people by age into different boxes and different categories. And those of you who've gotten older in life, you look and you know what I'm talking about. How sometimes it's easy for your kids or grandkids, whatever, pick you up and put you in a box in their minds, right? And for those who have that sense of community and family and care, and we're all in this together, that's a very precious thing. All right. Thank you, Tracy. Let's take a break, Jennifer. More great stories coming up on Intentional Living.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ.
What's interesting here is Paul says all of these in sequence. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, be angry and do not sin, be tender-hearted, forgiving one another, and be filled with the Spirit. You've heard me talk about head, heart, and hand, right? And as I've been doing this study, I realize I need to add a fourth circle. Because he says here to us, listen, he says here to us, be renewed in the spirit of your minds, our heads. Be angry and do not sin, our emotions. And be filled with the Spirit. There's three circles right there. Our head, our heart, and our spirit. Right? And then, in the doing side, he talks about our hand. Over on this other side, these precede what we do. Yeah, that's an excerpt from the lesson that is featured this week on our, or this month rather, on our exclusive site for our members, and it's on Being Before Doing. It's the book of Ephesians. The first three chapters focusing on our being, our place in Christ, our position in Christ, and the last three chapters about how we live. Therefore, Paul says, and be worthy of the calling you have on your life. And then he goes through about parenting and marriage and work. It's a beautiful picture of intentional living. That's what we're all about. We want you to know Christ, be in Christ, grow in your relationship with him, and then know that you can figure out what pleases him and do it. It says that in Ephesians as well, Ephesians 5. Figure out what pleases him and do it in terms of how we live our lives. That's intentional living. We walk with you. So we stop by on different areas of relationships to talk about today on in-law relationships. And it's staggering with over 70% of people saying that in-law relationships have put strain on their marriage and in their life. And mother-in-laws get the bad rap. Come on, Jennifer. Mother-in-laws get the bad rap. Stephen gave me some... famous and fun quotes from people.
Okay.
And father-in-law seem to get off the hook on this, but Lou Holtz, everybody knew who Lou Holtz is. Behind every successful person stands a very successful mother-in-law. Hello. let me see here. Here's one from Hubert Humphrey, going way back, a former senator. Behind every successful man is a proud wife and a surprised mother-in-law. So, and then there's a few about mother-in-laws. I'm not going to read them because I'm going to get hate mail on my texts here. I don't want that. So, and why do you think that is? Why do mother-in-laws get such a bad rap, do you think?
I'm not quite sure because I got really lucky with mine, but I have a feeling that it might be a communication thing because families are all different. Mm-hmm. People are raised differently. Some people may not feel respected or heard, and I don't know. Because I've known my in-laws since I was a teenager, so I really looked up to them. And they did teach me a lot when I was a kid in high school. Mm-hmm. And I felt comfortable going to them then. And so now it was even more comfortable. And so if they said, you know, we don't agree with this, I think before I may have had a hard time asking why. But now I am very comfortable asking, well, why? Why are you seeing it from this point of view? And so it helped me to understand. I mean, I think people don't ask questions like that, really.
Yeah, I've got a much simpler answer to why mother-in-laws get the rap more than men. Because I think men, were clueless.
We'll go with that.
We're just clueless. Say, what? There's a problem?
Because one day I'll be a mother-in-law.
Don't you think that's true, Stephen? We're kind of like, what? What's going on? All right. I know that's not always the case. So nowadays, when you generalize, you get 15 emails. I get it. So, but we're talking about in-law relationships. Let's get back to some more of the great comments that we have going next, I think, to, let me see, Tammy in Arizona. Tammy, what's your story?
I wanted to shout out about my mother-in-law and my father-in-law. They've been great, and I've been a part of their lives for 33 years, and the whole time they've been absolutely wonderful. The time we were dated for 4 years, she was real active and helpful in planning our wedding, and she's just been a real positive, hands-on mother, not only to my son, but to me, because I really didn't have that growing up. I lived with my grandmother, and my mother figure thing was not really there or present. And she really filled in the gap for me and showed me what it's like to love no matter who you are, blood or marriage. And her husband was the same way. He raised her son, even though it was his stepson, he raised him just like he was his own child. And therefore, my kids now have grown up, and my boys are raising kids that are not theirs because of the example that they set and the positive influence they were in their lives. And we're just newly divorced by two months, and I was so nervous about, I was so worried about losing my mother-in-law's relationship that I went to her and she said, oh honey, that's never going to change. We've been in each other's lives for 30 something years. We're going to still be there. I'm never going anywhere. And it just made my day, because I mean, you just don't expect people to keep going above and beyond, you know, like they do. And she does, and she's always been that way, always been there and been real active and hands-on with their kids, and she'd do anything for any of us. And I just think that's wonderful, and to be such a good influence in our kids' lives like that, for the role model that my kids had as a grandfather raising their dad, you know,
yes,
when he didn't have to. He was the dad he didn't have to be, and she was the mother she didn't have to be. And I think, how can you be any better in-laws than that? You know, yeah. I just think that's great.
So you're divorced, but you maintained, as I understand, a good, really good relationship, close relationship with your ex-mother-in-law.
Yes, I am. And we're very close. And actually, I think we're talking more now than we were before, huh, you know, the divorce.
Can I ask how your ex-husband dealt with that?
He's not so happy about it, but, I mean, he's a one-and-done kind of person. So, I mean, he and I haven't even seen each other. All we've done is text since the divorce, and he's fine with that. I'm fine with being around everybody, but I know he's not okay with that, and so that's fine with me. I don't want to do anything to ruffle any feathers. But I told her, I said, if nothing else, we can get together and have coffee, you know, and catch up on everything, you know. And she said, that sounds great with me.
Yeah.
And so, and I feel comfortable calling her and saying, do you mind if I swing by for coffee? And she'd be glad to have me anytime. So, and I just know that if I ever needed to really talk to her about anything, I could.
Mm-hmm. Well, good for you. That's unusual. That's not the way it typically goes. But the fact that, you can have an ongoing decent relationship even after a divorce can be positive for the kids, the grandkids, and so on. All right, let's go to, I think, got a caller from Minnesota. Appreciate your call. What's your story?
I am a mother-in-law that wants to comment about in-laws, because I grew up with a mother who felt like because I was the daughter, she had first dibs on everything. And I saw what it did to my husband, and I realized how unfair that was. So as a mother of two daughters, I have really tried to encourage my daughters to spend as much time as they want with their in-laws. In fact, to make it very equitable. Having lived through that pain of having to deal with a mom that wouldn't share, it's just not right. And so I would encourage any daughter to try to make sure her husband is fairly treated in this whole situation.
Yeah. All right. That's a good reminder. Thank you for that comment. We were talking a little bit earlier and I guess joking a little bit about the stories and jokes about mothers-in-law. And Stephen reminded me that we have a research study here from Cambridge University psychologist Terry Apter. And I shared with you that Terry found that 75% of couples have problems with their in-laws and 3 out of 4 experience significant conflict. But it went on to say, according to the research, they also found that 60% of women experience long-term stress and unhappiness in their relationships with their female in-laws, compared to only 15% of men. Which is really, that's sad, but it's also maybe informative as you think about your own relationships. 2/3 of daughters-in-law believe that their husband's mother frequently exhibited jealous maternal love toward their son. And I'll just leave it there. Let you think about that. Again, what's staggering there is 70% having difficulty in it. It's a reminder to all of us, because most of us either are an in-law or will be an in-law. And if it's not just married, it could be a sister-in-law or brother-in-law. But we make a difference. We can either lift and strengthen a relationship for our child in that family, or we can damage it. We could say things or do things which create problems for them. And that's certainly not in God's intention. That's what we're focused on here today. All right, let's continue on. Let's go to Michelle in Tucson today. What's your story about in-laws, Michelle?
I'm calling about my in-laws. I'm calling from Tucson, Arizona. I always say that I feel like I hit the in-law lottery because they are so great. And I believe they're great to me because I've never once felt like judged by them. And I'm sure I've given them plenty to do so. But they've been so gracious and loved me and welcomed me into the family. Always just felt welcomed and supported and loved. And I am so grateful to them for that. And it gives me a wonderful model for when I have someone marrying my son. So I just want to give a shout out to my in-laws, and I love you guys so much and so grateful.
Do you feel like you're spinning your wheels and not making any progress? In his message, Being Before Doing, Dr. Randy explores how to live an intentional life for Christ as we learn how to be before we do anything for God. With your monthly gift to Intentional Living, you'll be a part of a special group that gets this message, along with unlimited access to Dr. Randy's exclusive content.
Let's be who Christ made us to be in order to do what Christ has asked us to do. And as we do that, that is what Intentional Living is all about.
So don't wait. Give now, and you'll get access to these life-changing resources by calling 888-1717 today or visiting theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
Hey, listen, when you support the ministry, one of the things that we do to encourage you, to say thanks, we appreciate you, and to build community is we have developed an online exclusive site of content, teaching that we've created month by month over the last couple of years, and it's exclusively available to our monthly members of Intentional Living. And if you're not getting to it now, maybe you say, I lost that passcode. Well, let us know. All right, get in touch with us. We'll make sure you get it. If you join us in support today, we'll make sure you receive it. Your support is making a difference, allowing us to reach people and challenge them to think about this question. Are you experiencing your life the way God intended? Beginning with your relationship with Him, getting that straight first. And if you are, then the question is, are you experiencing your marriage, your family, your finance, your health, your work, your relationships the way God intended? If not, there's a better way. And we are here to help encourage you, to give some instruction, to walk with you, pray with you, encourage you. That's why we're here. And you're making it possible with your support. God bless you. You can join us today during West Coast Business Hours. Call 888-888-1717, 888-888-1717, or go to theintentionallife.com and click on donate.
Hi, I'm calling to talk about my relationship with my in-laws and what I've learned. My husband and I have been married for 33 years, and we became saved after we got married. So that was a very difficult thing for his parents to understand. But through all of that and some of the challenges, I just had to keep remembering that I represent Christ in everything I do. And so I've always tried to do my best with that. If there was a problem, to talk about it and to calmly resolve any problems. It didn't always go smoothly, but that was always the goal, that we would do that. And now we are in-laws, and we try to do the same things. We have three daughters, and their husbands are wonderful, and we respect them. They're adults. They make their own decisions, and thankfully they all are believers, but we do try to, what, like I said, represent Christ in everything that we do. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
That's the way it ought to be. We're talking in-law relationships. A lot of wisdom here. Thank you for being a part of it. Let's go next to Missouri. Jennifer, hello. How are you today?
Hi. I'm doing well. I'm doing well. So, you know, my mother-in-law has done lots of good, wonderful things. But what I was thankful to her for is actually some of the things that she does not do. Hmm. So she's not a cooker. She's not a cleaner. And so when I married my husband, he was just overjoyed and thankful because I did cook and clean. And so sometimes,
this is an upgrade. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. So, I mean, anything, even if I make a meal that is not great in my mind, because my mother was an amazing gourmet cook, you know, so I could never achieve that level, I don't think. But the fact that, you know, he is so thankful because of what his mother was not, actually has really worked well for us. And I'm blessed in many ways because she is a very loving woman, great with the grandkids. But the fact that she didn't do some things actually really worked for my advantage. So
here's a question just between you and me and a few hundred thousand listening. Who's cooking Thanksgiving dinner this
year?
Well,
we actually go to my mother's house for that.
The gourmet mom, right?
Yeah. Oh. Yes, exactly.
So the other year, so next year you get to go to the non-cook grandmother's house, right?
Well, a lot of times, and this sounds terrible, on Thanksgiving, because my mother-in-law does not like to cook, sometimes we just go to like Golden Corral or something like that. She's like, yeah, just get whatever you want, you know?
Well, at least it's not a drive-thru, I guess. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. So what is your mother-in-law? Does she know this, or is she listening? I mean, is she finding out that this was a upgrade for your son, or what?
No, she would admit to it. She fully admits to it that she does not cook, she does not clean, and she's okay with that, and that's just her. You know, she knows that she shines in other areas. That's just, she'll readily say that she is not domestic. So, but my husband has been so thankful over the years because, and I think it's been super strong in our marriage, because even though I'm just probably a very average kind of wife person in those domestic arts, he's just super thankful because it's a step up from how he grew up.
Maybe we need to add this into premarital counseling. What kind of cooks are you coming from in your home? And what kind of cooks are you moving into when you get married? So that guy's never moving. Jennifer, he's never moving. I mean, everything else in the marriage might not be working, but if the food is working, the guy's not going to leave. Come on. I tell you, guys are simple, right?
Yeah. Well, they say happiness, the way to a guy's heart is through his stomach, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. All right. That's fun. All right. Hey, listen, if you got a story to share, give us a call on our storyline. 888-888-1717 is the number. I think we have time for Shannon in Arizona before we wrap it up here. What's your relationship like with your in-laws, Shannon?
I had a mother-in-law that was just wonderful. She just encouraged us and supported us. We got married. I was 17 and Ken was 21. Mm-hmm. And she was so supportive of our marriage and our relationship. We've been married 58 years, so I think it's going to work.
I think so. I think it's going to work.
Yeah, she was just wonderful. Helped me with my wedding dress, and it was really funny because a Velcro had just come out about that time, and I had a bow in the back of my dress that we Velcroed on, and she said, you know, I just don't trust that stuff, so she pinned it on, too, and we could hardly get the Velcro off. She was just a great, great lady, and we loved her so much. And our son and daughter-in-law took her into their home the last year of her life and took care of her and spent a lot of really quality time with her last year, and it was just wonderful for her. My daughter-in-law, that daughter-in-law has just been a real sweetheart. So I've got good relationships with mother-in-law and daughter-in-law.
That's great. Great way to end the show. You know, we could have turned this to the negative and hear all the stories, because I know some of you are struggling. You hear stories like this, and you say, boy, I just wish that would have been me. It could be me. Here's a question. What is God's intention for your relationship with your in-laws? And what one thing could you do in the next 30 days? I know you might say, hey, I've tried everything. But let me just ask you, with humbleness, because we love each other and we're all in this thing together, what one thing could you continue to do for the next 30 days and beyond that'll bring glory to God and perhaps benefit to that relationship? That's what we're talking about. Share your story, 888-888-1717. Thanks to our team for your support. Thank you, Jennifer and Stephen, Gino, the rest of the team for being a part of Intentional Living. And on behalf of my wife, Donna, and our entire team, God bless you. Thank you for allowing us to be a part of your life in this way every day. Lots more information available about Intentional Living at our website. This is the Intentional Living Ministry, a part of Intentional Life Media.